Welcome to a new segment of Cruzamento Podcast. We are all about lifelong learning, and this is Cruzamento Education. Our goal is to deep dive on healthcare and technology topics to provide reliable and meaningful information to our audience and leaders that will shape the future. In this episode, we will talk about value-based healthcare with Felipe Costa. My name is Daniel Gdelha, and together with me is my friend and co-host, André Correia.
O maior evento para os profissionais da indústria farmacêutica em Portugal é já no dia 6 de junho, em Lisboa. Ricardo Batista Leite e Daniel Gdelha são os keynote speakers de um dia que promete muitas surpresas. Todas as informações e inscrições em www.rethinkingpharma.pt.
Hello and welcome to this show of Cruzamento Education. Today we have with us Felipe Costa. Hello, Felipe. Welcome to this show.
Hello, André. Hello, Daniel.
Our very first question, Felipe, we'll always start like this, is who is Felipe Costa?
Oh, first of all, thank you very much, André and Daniel. I'm a huge fan of your work. I think you have been producing two main things that for me, it's important. It's knowledge, it is knowledge and wisdom. And yeah, I'll go back to that kind of two concepts that are amazing. So I think you've been bringing to this main concept. Who is Philippe? So first of all, Philippe is a guy that likes challenges. He's a guy that loves music. He's addicted to knowledge. And he mainly likes a lot of education. But essentially, what Philippe is he lives, he breathes, he learns, he does it, and he deep dives on research about a concept that is my lifelong journey. It's called value-based healthcare. That's Philippe.
That's beautiful, Philippe. And let's therefore start there. What exactly is value-based healthcare and how does it differ from traditional models? And of course, Philippe, very important, please let us know what is not value-based healthcare.
That's a very clever question. I think mostly the word value is bringing more problems and solutions in our actual days, because the concept itself has brought by an economical perspective, but when it's been brought back in 2006 by Michael Porter to the healthcare, it brings a different modality about what's the value chain and about the integration of care, that when we are delivering outcomes that matters to the patient, at the correct cost. I will say it again. To produce outcomes that matters to patient at the correct costs, we will deliver value along the full cycle of care of a patient and a condition. So if we are producing better outcomes at the correct costs, we will definitely produce value along the chain that we are producing, and we are virtual integrators of that value to produce that outcome that is mandatory in a model that traditionally has been brought by volume of things. We have a fee-for-service model that is in financial incentive, creating a bad incentive. So if you do more, you receive more, which is a nonsense concerning what's the real mission in healthcare. And our mission in healthcare is just one, is to produce better outcomes for our patient. But because we don't have money to pay for the healthcare that we are producing, and it's not a problem of Portugal, it's a problem of all over the world. We are putting more money in healthcare than the return that we are having concerning that investment. And that is the difference between cost and investment. If we are putting money, but we are having this return on the investment, and what's the return on investment in healthcare? It's to produce better outcomes for our patient. So we need to do one basic thing. It's to measure healthcare, which is our product. So we cannot longer be in a sector and in a market where we don't measure our product. And for that, we need evidence on things that we are producing, on outcomes and costs.
Yeah. And Philippe, I'll pick up on those two words. You said outcomes that matter to patients, and you've mentioned about metrics. So to me, it sounds like the patient should be at the center of the strategy for this conversation. How are patient outcomes defined and measured within a value-based healthcare framework? And is our current system, the national system structure, ready to prioritize such an approach?
Yeah. First of all, I think the concept of value-based healthcare brings a mandatory approach, a mandatory differentiation strategy. It's just not a cost-lowering strategy that we are delivering. No, we are in a change of one of the biggest challenges of implementing value-based healthcare. And this is something that is not being brought by the books. One of the main challenges that I got on my research is when we are implementing value-based healthcare, we are changing the culture organization of a model. We are changing the internal concept of culture organization, mm-hmm. but after all, we are going to change dramatically the way that healthcare system is being delivered. First of all, if our mission is to bring better outcomes for the patient, it's mandatory that mostly of the outcomes must be brought directly from the patient. Yes, because patients are not passive actors on the value chain. They are very actively demanding and very actively creating this need for this kind of evidence. And that's why in systems in healthcare all over the world where value-based healthcare is very in a good evolution, more than 50% of the outcomes that matters to a taken decision in the value-based healthcare model are brought by the patient, just by the patient, no interference. And that's the basic principle of one thing called patient-reported outcome measurement that were brought very deeply by the concept of value-based healthcare into a reality. They were established by clinical trials in a basic step, but they came to the activity, daily activity, with an evidence that they can really bring a lot of information to better take decisions. And what we are getting all over the world is that these kind of measurements have more than already 50% of the importance to take decision. So if we capture data that comes directly from the patient, no interference, they are more sensitive and they are more reliable. Why? Because we are measuring by that kind of pathology, by that kind of outcomes, really outcomes that matters to that patient with that kind of pathologies. And then we can already then deliver what's the correct cost to improve that outcomes. Because at the end of the day, we are just strategically improving mm-hmm. what's our methodology to mm-hmm. really have a better sustainable system.
That's great, Philippe. And you touch upon examples, and of course technology plays a key role here. And there are some countries and some good examples of where this technology approach has been implemented. So can you provide to our audience examples of successful integration of technology into value-based healthcare initiatives? And what measurable impacts, as you were alluding to, have these implementations had on patient outcomes and cost savings?
Yeah. The US has been traditionally an example of a high deliver and quickly adoption concerning the model, because it culturally, there was a need to control the overall costs as a mandatory first approach. But then to understand that variation of behavior or that variation of the cost that we were having, we need to understand the variation of behavior. And what we got is that we need to understand exactly what is creating that kind of variation. I think one of the biggest impact is that technology brought, for example, on patient-reported outcome measurements, a need for total independence on the way that the patient are giving the results to the hospital. And the hospital is just not that walls, traditional walls, are a virtual community that goes behind the walls and behind the building. So we are not just measuring the patient that has problems from a heart or hypertension that is at home, but we are measuring the patient that has a prostate cancer and is being measured on potency and continency, or we are measuring a lot of other pathologies like pregnancy. And for example, when people are at home, they can measure if the patient is okay, if you have a connection between the mother and the child, if you are having good breastfeeding. So you have a lot of examples that this kind of technology created that empowerment of the patient for him to be actively on his management and engagement on the shared decision-making that he's making. Because along the chain of value, what this model is bringing is that you are most empowered on information for you to have a better connection with your stakeholders, your internal stakeholders. And what this concept is bringing is an evidence that you create more engagement on when you're taking decisions with your doctors, with your nurses, with your pharmaceuticals. Again, this kind of technologies, for example, is empowering some stakeholders that were behind the curtain and now are in the first line. For example, pharmaceuticals, they are much more measuring toxicity, and they can have early integration and early measurement and asking for the patient to come early. And for example, there's a good publication about Ethan Baum published in ASCO 2017, where he showed on evidence that the patient that reports outcomes by PROMS, metastatic patients, live 5 months more. So this doesn't only have an impact direct on outcomes, it has also an impact on the way that we are delivering healthcare. And of course, when we measure costs, that has a low variation and good forecasting to know what's the correct cost for me to deliver that. And concerning politically and sustainable model, that is very important. We need to predict the way that we are going to invest in healthcare to have this return on investment. And technology is doing a very important thing, is lowering the time that the relationship between patient and doctors have, because they don't need to be asking that kind of question to the patient. They need to be talking and argue and talking about the evolution of that outcomes. And that's the benefit that the technology and can really enlarge the capability of evidence of that kind of outcomes and costs.
And Felipe, you alluded to investment, to return on investment as well. There is obviously a cost here. So in the context of value-based healthcare, there is a very tight link between monetization and evaluation of the drugs and the medtech, meaning the devices, for example. So if it's also known that if a drug device exhibits positive outcomes, it might then have an impact and lead to an increase in its price. The question here is, how do healthcare organizations align financial incentives with the goals of value-based healthcare?
Yeah, that's a very good perspective, because normally what's the basic step people enter in value-based healthcare is about going to the financial model. But I always say that it's starting the house from the ceiling and not from the roof, and not starting the house from the structure. So you cannot go to a financial model if you don't know what you're measuring, first of all. So if you don't know what you're measuring, you can have different predictions of the things that you're getting. So the thing is that when you're introducing some new arguments on your value chain, and it can be a drug, can be a new technology, medtech, what you're supposed to be doing is to link that activity to a positive added outcome that you're producing, which means that you are not giving extra costs, you are creating an investment to have that better outcome. which means that the way that this technology and drugs are entering the market is are changing dramatically. So not only real world evidence, which is not value-based healthcare, just to go back for one of the best question, because value-based healthcare is a lot of aggregation of concepts, but it's not just cost analytics, it's not just clinical measurements, it's the aggregation of all these things. Like, for example, value-based healthcare payment models and contracts are not real-world evidence contracts, are much more than that. And the thing is that when you're bringing technology and new drugs, you have people are, and the politicians and the guys that are regulating are talking about the phase five, which means that in real-world evidence, when you're measuring the correct efficiency and the correct outcomes in a real setting, you establish a price that can go down, but it can go up. Why? Because if you're delivering better outcomes, you should align correct the way that you're improving that on a value chain. Why? Because you cannot be on a model of unbalanced stakeholder. And that is what value-based healthcare brings. And that's another thing that value-based healthcare is and people need to understand. This is a new approach to create a balanced ecosystem among all the stakeholders, where we are measuring correctly innovation and not pseudo-innovation, which means that if it's delivering good outcomes, we can pay the correct price. Why? Because we are producing an investment, okay? But we need to know exactly what we are measuring and what creates that kind of differentiation in real-world life. And that's a change modality that the world in a quick step it's going to happen on a regulatory basis and in a real-world connection between providers, suppliers, and payers.
And Philip, you mentioned several times measuring. And this is kind of obvious to us. When we discuss value-based healthcare, so therefore data and analytics are very important. Now, maybe let's look a little bit into Portugal, but not only. But how advanced is, in your view, the Portuguese healthcare ecosystem in terms of data collection and utilization? And additionally, are there any good examples out there, other countries that you would say, okay, those are really good and they stand out?
Yeah, absolutely. I will start by saying that Portugal, people don't realize and don't understand how much we are evolved in the way that we are sometimes doing value-based healthcare, because we are small in a country, but we need to be more advanced in the way of the way that we are doing our mentality, because we have very good things. We can really escalate things. And when we want to do it, that's another perspective. I'm a doer. I'm a guy that likes to do it, you know? So I want the concept, and value-based healthcare is a concept that is above the structures. It's above different ideologies. It's a need on the way that we are doing value-based healthcare, on the way that we are doing healthcare in our days. It's a mandatory approach. So it's very important to know that we are in Portugal. We have a lot of good things already being done. We, for example, we have data, but we don't have information. We don't have knowledge, and we don't have yet wisdom in some cases. But we already have a lot of good cases that we have been doing, and I've been conducting a lot of projects concerning this way of improving and the evidence that we are getting. But one important thing, this takes time, and we need robust on the evidence that we are producing to have credibility, to have trust, and to correct, do things that can really have an impact long-term and short-term. And this takes time, knowledge, and wisdom, because there's a very good sentence that they told me in the beginning, is that knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is never to put into a fruit salad. And what we've been doing in healthcare is putting a lot of tomatoes in a fruit salad, and we don't know really what's creating the bad taste on it. So we need to be correctly doing and measuring things. And I would like to say one important thing. This cannot be done by people that don't know how to do it, because this has a huge impact on the organization. You will take decisions on measuring things and financing things. So it needs to be done with people that needs that knows how to do it, or else you can break out very a system. And I know what I've been talking about, because I know a lot of international projects that went well and not went well. And that was part, for example, of my research. And this is part of our international community, is to talk about the importance of delivering and correctly implementing value-based healthcare. Because when it's correctly implemented, you can create a much more balanced ecosystem among your stakeholders. And you create a more sustainable model of doing value-based healthcare. And better from this, you really put the patient on the center of equation, which is our mandatory mission, is to produce better outcomes for them in a more sustainable model, and giving that correct money to deliver and to improve in a balanced ecosystem between everyone, providers, suppliers, payers, regulators. Everyone should be on a balanced ecosystem. And value-based healthcare brings this mandatory approach. You cannot go by silo approach, independently, each of us working without talking with each other. It cannot happen, but it's still happening. So I understand the catastrophic results that we are having in healthcare concerning financing, concerning costs, and concerning what is the worst part. We need to produce better outcomes for our patients. And we don't know what we are producing.
And Philip, I think there was an interesting example in one of the Nordic countries where different hospitals, they were doing. Can you give that example? I think it's quite interesting.
Yeah, different Nordic countries were kind of measuring different things, okay? And when they gather the everyone was thinking that they were the best, but they didn't knew what they were comparing and benchmarking, okay? So, hey, I'm the best on my house. Yeah, I'm great. But am I really good on the environment on a competitive approach? Yes or no? And so the government, and this was the Dutch government, said, no, wait, I need to regulate correctly and only pay and give that kind of quota of patients to the ones that will deliver best outcomes and the correct cost. So I can pay even more in the beginning, but I will know exactly what I'm being putting on my patients. If they have osteoarthritis and he needs to do a knee replacement or a hip replacement, I will send it directly to that kind of hospitals, to that kind of providers, because I know there's the biggest probability for them to know what is going to be the outcomes. Because normally we have a short vision term. We are only looking for the immediate result. And that is a problem. If you put, for example, a hip prosthesis, you're probably only going to see biggest problems of that prosthesis in 5 years or 7 years, because the prosthesis is not delivering its outcomes. But the first outcome that you should be delivering is mobility, so, and reducing of pain. So you're buying a prosthesis not to be in this long term, 3 years or 5 years. You're delivering to have 10, 15 years. Uh-huh. So you're paying in advance an outcome that you're not measuring if it's delivering. So it's important to know that at a certain moment, all the regulators, when they have this power of information, they will know how really I can deliver, as me being regulator, delivering this kind of benefit to my patients. And I can say, look, I will not have everyone doing everything, but I will have the guys that in probability can deliver best outcomes. And I know how much I need to pay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't say the lowest cost, really.
Exactly.
see what I've been saying, because the difference between the conceptual model is saying that you will lower. I believe in the value chain we can lower because we have a lot of inefficiency all over Europe. For example, it's from 20 to 40% of inefficiency. So there's a lot of money to reinvest. What I'm saying is not the lowest price. It's the correct costs. Because in a subsidized moment, probably we need to increase the costs to deliver better outcomes and to improve value.
And throughout this conversation, Flip, we started talking about the patients. Now you've mentioned regulators. We've been talking about providers as well. The payers, you've mentioned them as well. So we are effectively talking about the health ecosystem as a whole that needs to be coordinated to deliver that value. So I guess the question here is, how aligned are all these stakeholders, first of all? And then secondly, because there are so many of them, what challenges hinder this alignment? So, and how might it affect the successful implementation of this value-based healthcare?
Yeah, I think the evolution of healthcare has been less productive concerning the integration than what it was the need, you know? Why? Because you created a lot of sub-specialization. You create a lot of silo approaches concerning the providers and the suppliers always fighting for costs. Like normally I'm saying, I think healthcare is being wrongly adopting rules of a commodity and transactional costs. That is not the rules of healthcare. It's the rules of retail. So if you're bringing the rules of retail into healthcare just as the base main step, you will not be on what's your mission approach, which is really to deliver best outcomes. So the thing is that you are having an unbalanced way of working because, oh, I will lower the costs. I'm having a very good business model because I will have this discount. But like normally we say, you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. So what are you paying for? Are you paying for you to get, in an immediate approach, a better lowering price, but probably how much are you lowering your results on your patients? Okay. And that's what value-based healthcare brings. It brings always a modulation between knowing correctly if you're really paying to improve or at least to maintain the outcomes that you're having. Of course, you can have lower costs, but you have to maintain your outcomes on the way that you're delivering. And the thing is that what I feel is that the pressure of an unsustainable economy that we have all over the world, because we don't have money to pay for all the bill in healthcare, has brought value-based healthcare as a holy grail of save. But there is a problem. People haven't done their homework. They haven't prepared to be on this cultural organization changing model where we need to internalize to create one important thing that is a basic step. It's called transparency. It's called evidence. And what value-based healthcare brings, it's this need of transparency, this need of evidence that you are permanently producing to create a good competitive advantage, a good competitive environment, but mostly of all, to know the principle of good economics. You allocate correctly the resources that you have. So the payer will pay more if you improve better outcomes, okay? And he will assure that your supplier is giving you the best products to you to deliver better outcomes. And the regulator is going to be in an approach where he's going to see and oversee if this is being well done, if people are being correctly dealing with a model that needs this balance. What I've been seeing is that we, Portugal, have been in a huge advance concerning the next few years, the adoption of a global view of value-based healthcare. Why? Because we have the mentality to do it. We have the people that knows how to do it. We have the people that wants to do it. And I will say, when I'm saying the people, I'm saying the ecosystem. What I feel in nowadays is that the ecosystem is prepared to start this journey and for Portugal to be what is now being happily recognized as one of the places where it has a lot of great evolution of developers healthcare. Yes, because we, Portugal, are a face of what is being well done in developers healthcare all over the world. So we need just to create a country of developers healthcare, which we are good on it because we can really escalate. We have good knowledge, we have great people, and we have the tools and the way of doing it. And I believe in the next few years, we can have it and we can be the front line on Europe to show that we are really the example of value-based healthcare.
And that has a lot to do, as you were alluding to, Philippe, with ecosystem and evidence. And of course, then the data comes to mind. So the cultural aspect, as you alluded to, and then data as well. And what role, in your view, does interoperability of health information systems play in supporting value-based healthcare? And how can technology standards and protocols be improved to enhance that?
Yeah, that's very important. So you cannot take decisions if you don't transform data into information into knowledge. And the thing is that the interoperability will create a need for you not to have extra burden on capturing that kind of information and data, but to, in the normal way of you delivering healthcare, you can capture data that can immediately to be transformed into information and help the decision makers to take better decision on that point of care. So if I'm with a patient, I'm now imagine that I'm a doctor and I'm with a patient, I don't need to be asking him questions. I need to be looking to that data transformed into information and say, okay, I have all the information transformed for me to take better decision. I will talk with the patient about this and this and this for me to take decisions. And this is what it's needed. And for that to happen, technology is entering as a helping methodology to create this knowledge and this wisdom, is to help people take better decisions without extra burden. So 50% of the results in the Stanford study showed 50% of the times of doctor are being done in administrative ways of things. So you're paying a very differentiated professional to be doing administrative things. So you're not doing your correct investment. So what technology brings is that leverage. It brings that importance of helping people to do their job, helping better to really put one of the most important things, the patient on the center of the decision and the patient knowing what is happening with them. And that is helping all the stakeholders. So the information will be interoperable. Of course, we need to always keep up the anonymized and the way that we are looking to data should always be in the important rules. But we have to analyze what we are doing. And the interoperability will create a unique system where we are talking the same language. For example, if we are using SNOMED CT, if we are using ICD-10, everyone should be doing and using that kind of language. It's like in the system, if you are using EHL7 or FHIR. So everyone knows what's the names of the things. We just need to do one thing important, is to define and to do, which is a very important thing to do, and then measure and then see the results. But this needs to be done with responsibility, with transparency, and with the knowledge that we in Portugal have. We have that knowledge. We know how to do it. So we are short-term in space. But we are very big on the way that we can escalate quickly things. So it's important to do it because the concept brings all this magical thing. And what I've been doing in more than one decade about this concept, it's seeing this thing. And every day I work with a fantastic team and we are always well surprised. We are having the same fire, looking to the things and really believing every day that we can change daily the life of our patients. That's what we believe. And the ecosystem and the sustainable model, of course.
And, okay. And Cliff, thank you very much for sharing all this knowledge with us. We'd like to thank you for your time and the availability to be speaking here to us today and explaining this complex concept of value-based healthcare. I think we've covered a lot of ground here. We've covered what is and what is not value-based healthcare. We've covered the importance of outcomes that actually matter to patients and the metrics. We've talked about the data-based measuring, which is paramount for decision-making. You've mentioned the rules of retail should not be king in healthcare. That is a different setup. And finally, which I think personally it's a very important message, is that Portugal can actually have a lead role in this space. So it's a watch out, and you know, let's make it happen, as you said, to make this a reality. The very last question from our side is, in case our audience wants to know more about you, your work and value-based healthcare, where can they find you online, Flip?
I think it's very easy to find me. LinkedIn, it's very easy to find me. And everyone knows me in Portugal, but being also a professor at Nova School in Business and Economics and being a director of value-based healthcare, I'm an open field to really help everyone and to be had advantage about really putting value-based healthcare as a practice. Not as a theoretical, okay? That's my purpose. That's my way of doing things. I am a guy that wants to be responsible of doing it. And that's the purpose. So if anyone really thinks that's important, it's important.
Thank you so much, Philippe. To our audience, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Cruzament Education. Did you like it? Did you learn from it? Show some love, please. Hit the like button and subscribe to our podcast for the latest episodes. Also connect as well with us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and your favorite podcast apps. And don't forget to check out our show's notes, please, for more details. See you soon, and thank you, Philippe, so much for your great talk and interview.
See you soon.